Thank you, Dr. Price. We give our praises to God.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
We give honor to these co-laborers in the ministry, those who have told God that they trust him and they will carry the word to an unbelieving world. God is a good God, worthy to be praised. And so we have that opportunity. Don't ever think you can wait till next week to give God praise. Tomorrow's not promised. What we have is today. And if we start today, we believe that God will honor faithfulness. Hope you have your Bible with you. And whatever form you have the Bible in, it's going to be all right on your iPad or your phone or in your hands. But I want you to look at the book of Nehemiah for a few minutes. Turn to the book of Nehemiah. And if you need to, go to the front of your Bible. If you have challenges just keeping up with those, go to the front of your Bible, and what you're going to find in the front of your Bible is what? A guide. There's no harm to use the guide to find the book, because it's good that we read the scriptures together. I'm going to ask this morning, I'm going to ask Deacon Wade, will you come this morning and turn to Nehemiah chapter 5 for us, please? Going to read verses 1 through 8. Just take your time. When you find it comfortably, we'll get you a microphone. And if you read that for us, please. Nehemiah chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. And if you come to the center.
Nehemiah chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. And there was a great cry of the people and of their wives against their brethren, the Jews.
Yeah.
For there were that said, we, our sons, our daughters, are many. Therefore, we take corn for them, that we may eat and live.
Mm-hmm.
Some also there were that said, we have mortgaged our lands, our vineyards, houses, that we might buy corn because of the dearth. There were also said, we have borrowed money for the king's tribute, and that upon our lands and vineyards. Yet for our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, our children as their children. And lo, we bring unto bondage our sons and daughters to be servants. And some of our daughters are bought unto bondage already.
Mm-hmm.
Neither is it in our power to redeem them, for other men have our lands and vineyards. And I was very angry when I heard their cry in these words. Then I consulted with myself, and I rebuked the nobles and the rulers, and said unto them, ye exact usury, every one of his brother.
Mm-hmm.
And I set a great assembly against them. Verse 8, and I said unto them, we after our ability have redeemed our brother and the Jews, which were sold unto the heathen. And will ye even sell your brethren, or shall ye be sold unto us? Then they then held their peace.
Amen.
And found nothing to answer.
Amen. Thank you, Deacon Wade. When we read the Bible, we grow closer to God.
Amen.
God has made it possible for us to be able to study the Word. Not just open our Bible once a week, dust it off. You all are saints. God has a work for you. So this morning from this passage, we're going to speak from this subject for a while. Don't leave your brothers and sisters behind. Don't leave your brothers and sisters behind. Thank you for standing as we examine the Word of God. This is written by the prophet Nehemiah. You all know, I'm thinking everybody knows, that God at different times would call people out from the world to speak for him. He would call people to deal with some harsh conditions. God didn't send the prophets into a rose-covered garden. He gave them some work to do. And in doing the work of God, sometimes you're going to have to face some challenges. Will somebody say amen?
Amen.
Anybody who is telling you or me that church work is easy, you show up once in a while, maybe you show up every week, put our names on a church roll, and now we're servants of God. I come by to tell you, serving God can be hard. Will somebody say amen?
Amen.
It's not because we are lazy or because we don't study. The truth is, the only way for us to grow is to be in the presence of God. And this Bible, this Word of God, is how we get the presence of God with us every day. We are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. This is what the church is today. We are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. So what does that mean to us today? It means that everybody who's been saved, been washed in the blood, you have the Holy Spirit in you. Will somebody say amen?
Amen.
It also means we can't live just any kind of way. We can't treat people badly. We have to do what God asks us to do. And if we do that, God in turn would take care of us.
Amen.
God is a loving God. He's a mighty God. But this scripture for Nehemiah tells us about a time in the world when the children of Israel were scattered. You all know from reading and from hearing stories and sermons that the children of Israel did not have it easy either. Sometimes people think, well, you say that they're the children of Israel, they're the children of God. God called this group out so they could represent him in the world. That didn't mean they didn't have some problems. And what that tells us is that we as Christians, from time to time, we're going to have some problems. We're going to have some challenges. And how do we deal with them? The way we ought to deal with them is to keep God first in our life. I asked about Sunday school this morning. I pray that we as a church and churches in general don't give up on teaching. We cannot grow spiritually without the teaching, because God is smarter than we are. Will somebody say amen?
Amen?
And so let's talk about what Nehemiah had to face here. Nehemiah, having been called out, God's going to take care of him. That wasn't going to be a problem. But he was dealing with people, and it said the people had sold their property in some cases. They didn't have enough food to eat. They were complaining about what other people were doing to them. Because the truth is, even in our churches today, everybody's not in the same situation. Will you say amen? And from time to time, we may even ask ourselves, God, why is it that Joe seems to be doing better than I'm doing? Why is it that Mary can get up all the time and not just go to church, but be a church worker? And what I share with you is that it's about commitment. It's about the strength of knowing that we are God's children. It's about recognizing that whoever we are, whatever set of circumstances we found ourselves in, we can do better. Will somebody say amen?
Amen.
Now, don't get quiet on me now. I tend to get longer when you're quiet, because it tells me I'm not reaching somebody. But if you can say amen,
amen,
we'll move right along to see what this word has to say.
Amen.
I love the Lord. He heard my cry. Y'all have heard that song.
Amen.
How he pitied every groan. So there's some saints here who understand God loves you. He loves me. He will take care of us. But we don't fool God. God knows the difference when between me saying with my mouth, I love the Lord, and me showing God with my heart that I love him. Because when we love him, walk with me now, when we love God, are we going to keep his commandments as best we can or not? We're going to do our best because we want God to know we are serious. We are sincere. So Nehemiah, having been called as a prophet to serve at this time where the temple had been destroyed, there were times when the children of Israel were in captivity. Somebody else was calling the shots for them. Babylon, Assyria, somebody else was doing. And even during that time, God expected these people to stay alert and follow his word. In other words, there's never a time when we have permission not to follow what God's teaching is. And that means that every washed in the blood saint ought to be striving to grow closer to God. How can I grow closer to God, preacher? Come to teaching ministries. Come and see what these teachers sacrifice, what they put into the effort. These teachers are not just hanging around. This church has been blessed to have some great teachers. Right now, this church has some great teachers. But we need for the saints to come out and have our ears open and have our hearts receptive for what God gives. That's what Nehemiah had done. He'd made himself available. And so as God was working through Nehemiah, he heard the things that people were saying and what they were saying, not having enough food. It said some of the people pledged their land so that others could have food to eat, a roof over their head. What it says to us today, we cannot be a church just concerned about ourselves. We can't be a church that's selfish. We can't be a church that's saying, I got mine. Let them get theirs. It's funny, many times I'm listening to sports shows and things like that, and some of the well-known people will say, well, let that player get his bag. And what they're meaning is that let them get the money that they think they're entitled to. But there are very few of the players, and no matter how much money they earn, they won't turn around and take care of others. There's some. You know, I read the stories like you read them. Somebody leave a $10,000 tip in a restaurant and give $1 million when there's a catastrophe like what happened right here in Texas down on the river. But most just, I hope they're thankful for what they have. But that doesn't mean they're going to show up at a church. Doesn't mean they're going to love the Lord the way he wants us to love him. Because what people forget sometimes, this stuff that we got, that we accumulate, that we work hard for, somebody would say that, we work hard for, you can't take it with you. That's going to be left behind. And sometimes it'll be left behind with somebody who don't care to keep it. You can spend as much money as you make. Anybody doubt that? We can spend as much money as you make. And so you got $100,000, $200,000, $1 million. You can spend it, and once it's gone, you got to go get some more. Because the people in these stores, they don't care that you're a church person. When's the last time the store told you to take your groceries home because you were a saint and you don't have to pay? When's the last time somebody told you, take this car with you? It normally costs $50,000, but we love the Lord like you love the Lord. Take it home. Don't even worry about paying for it. That's not the way the world works. But the way the world works is that God puts us in different positions, may not have the same resources available to us. But if we all love the Lord, let me tell you that everything going to be all right. Does anybody believe it? So in this time that we're living in, we're like Nehemiah. We're looking for saved people who are not just saved for their own ability, or the things that they are blessed with, but they want to reach out and help somebody who's been left behind. We can do that, church. We can do a better job of reaching people. We can let people know if you come and you can't give the way you want to give, keep coming. Pray about it. Somebody here understands God is a door opener.
Yes, he is.
He's a way maker.
Yeah.
He is a provider. We don't just sing about that because it's a popular song. We sing about it because it's true. And because we know it's true, I want you to think with me back to Nehemiah. Now, the people are saying they need more. Nehemiah's then coming and he is asking the people, step up. He's asking the people, be recognized. He's asking the people, be what God wants you to be. God wants you to be a servant for him. And that sometimes means that you might give up something in order to help somebody else. Now, I know they're loving people in this congregation. I've been around this congregation long enough to know there are some good people. And there are other good people coming to, alongside of you to help build what God wants to be built in this area. We were talking this morning, and these ministers are so courteous. They will come, and we all have the same goal in mind. Be the best church we can be. And that requires listening. And then it requires taking action when you need to take action. But don't ever think it's a one-man project. Would somebody say amen?
Amen.
Don't ever think we can just lean on the preachers and the deacons and nobody else has work. Anybody here recognize you have work that can be done in the church?
Amen.
Don't fool me now. Now, if you and I recognize we've got work that needs to be done, how do we get to the next step? We do like Nehemiah, one foot in front of the other one, and we go to work. See, Nehemiah recognized that his challenge was really not with the people that were there that he was trying to reach. His challenge was with the people who didn't want the work to get done. And so we pray to God constantly, Lord, open hearts. Let people understand, God, what it is that you want us to do. And then, I don't know who believes this or not, I believe that God rewards faithfulness.
Yes, he does.
I hear some saints. God rewards faithfulness. I mention this all the time. It's a because I have to look at my life to see how God has worked things out. I have 5 grandsons. I have 14 grandchildren altogether, but I have 5 who live in Victoria, Texas. And they were homeschooled by my son, Raj, and his wife, who didn't want to put them in public schools. And once, a few years ago, they got the idea that they wanted to play basketball. And they couldn't dribble. I mean, yeah, they looked like they wasn't cut out for it. But as God worked it out of homeschooling, 2 of them went to play college basketball last year. I know that's God. It does not mean that I see them playing for the Rockets or pro, I don't know. But just that they got that far showed me God is still in control. You've got examples in your life where if you look back over your life, you know it was God that brought you out. You know you didn't deserve what God gave you. But because God is a loving God, the songwriter say, God looks beyond our faults. Anybody have faults beside me? He looks beyond our faults and he sees what? He sees what we need. And once he sees what we need, he is the one who can make it happen. If I was a person who had to live under the freeway year after year after year, I need to know that God is alive. I need to know that God is real. I need to know that God can break my situation, change my life. But I got to trust him. And so Nehemiah had the people go on the wall. You know the story. And they rebuilt that temple. But he recognized, even as he was trying to rebuild, somebody out there didn't want him to get it done. And because they didn't want it to get it done, Nehemiah said, you got to take the rifle in one hand, the weapon in one hand, and do the work with the other hand. That's where we are, church. We need to be not just excited for God, but on fire for God. On fire for God. I listen to our deacons and ministers and saints and the stories, the choir. It's so much going on that you can be happy about. But we still got work in front of us. I saw where Nehemiah didn't get discouraged. Don't you get discouraged. I saw where Nehemiah was one of the workers. Don't send anybody out to work if you're not going to work. I saw where Nehemiah, in spite of everything that was going on, he trusted God. He said, God is good, worthy to be praised. That's us. God is worthy to be praised. And so as he comes with these verses, and I'm going to just read through them one more time. And as he's telling the people, don't feel like somebody else is pulling you down. You got to know that if you have to sell property, sell it. If you have to go to work more than you thought you'd have to work, go to work. Because in the end, the only thing that we have that's permanent down here is salvation. That's the only thing that we'll take with us when we leave here and go into heaven. That Cadillac, that Mercedes, it's good. Drive them if you can. Remember, they need gas. And God can provide that too. And so all in all, if we just put God first, not second, not third, put God first, God will allow us to be able to help other families. And when God helps somebody else, helps other families, do you know we ought to have celebrations? When somebody breaks that pattern, when somebody is able to come out of the pit and move forward and see newness and see wholesomeness in their life, they ought to praise God. And praise God loud enough so that other people understand. And we want other people to ask, what's wrong with you? Why are you so loud? And we'll be able to tell them, why are you not so loud? Do you know that God is real?
Oh yes.
Not just to Nehemiah, not just to the children of Israel. He's real for us. And when we know that, we put a smile on our face. Because if we can have smiles on our face, churches, we're better off. Do not be that person who's pulling everybody else down. Will somebody say amen? Amen. Be that person who is loud for the Lord. That person who sings for the Lord. Prays for the Lord. Not just here at Sunday on the church. Do it here at Sunday. If there's anywhere we're going to be loud here. It's okay. Nobody's going to complain about it. But when you at work through the week, you and I got to be loud for the Lord. Because God is alive.
Yes, he is.
See, if God was dead, I can see folks being discouraged and disappointed. But God is not dead. Nehemiah was just the start of people God called out because he was going to come to earth himself and do what nobody else could do. Do we recognize that Jesus is fulfillment of Scripture?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That he came for you and for me and for everybody to be able to lift their heads up. And because we know he got up out of the grave, we ought to be celebrating all the time. He got up out of the grave. If he had stayed in that grave, they might have put some flowers on the grave from time to time. You know how we do. But knowing that he got up, and I don't mean just got up for a day and then went somewhere and just is hanging out today. He got up to take care of you and me. So he could say to me, Pickens, do you know you wouldn't get into heaven except for me?
All right.
Because I can overlook your faults. I can know that you're trying. And when God knows we're trying, I'm so glad I don't have to be a perfect person. Don't get me wrong. I want to be better. But knowing I don't have to be perfect, he looks beyond my faults and he sees my need. So every saint ought to be alive for God. Every saint ought to be celebrated. Not just one or once in a while. Hallelujah ought to come out of our mouth on a regular basis. Say that's the highest praise you can give to God. Hallelujah. Do I have anybody who will say hallelujah? Do I have anybody who will say praise the Holy God? Do you believe he is worthy to be praised? And if you believe he's worthy, it's time to show it. Once in a while we raise our hand. That's a good start. But somebody ought to move your feet sometime. Somebody ought to get up and say hallelujah sometime. Don't be embarrassed because your neighbor may not want to say hallelujah. You say hallelujah. You salute God. Give him a chance to show you in your life how good God can be to you. And when you do that, I know that smile will be on your face. Deacon Jermaine, can you smile sometime? Do you get happy sometime? Are you alive for the Lord? God is a mighty good God. And so we're going to praise him. And remember, everything we want to do for God will last. It will last. My car, the paint's going to fade. Engine's not going to work right sometime. I can think what I will think about the dealership, why they sold me that car for that price. They know it wasn't worth all that. But when I serve God, I got no complaint. I feel like running. I feel like running.
Oh, yes.
Do you believe God is good?
Yes, sir.
God is good. Anybody know God is good? Can I have another saint join me up here? Anybody feel like running? He is worthy. Worthy to be praised. I wonder if I got anybody who's not embarrassed to come and give God some praise. Stand on your feet and give God some praise. Say a hallelujah and give God some praise. He is worthy today. He's worthy tomorrow. He's worthy next week. God is a mighty good God. How good is he, preacher? Whatever I need, God can provide it. Now here's the challenge. God knows what I need. I don't always know what I need. I know what I want. I know what I like. But when I accept that God knows me better than I know myself, now I can give him the praise. He is worthy, worthy, worthy. Lift up your holy hands. Lift up your holy hands. Give God what he deserves from all of us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to a mighty God. God, we thank you. Thank you for Calvary. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for your blood that now covers our sin. Do you see what I'm talking about? God could have kept me out of heaven because of how I messed up stuff. But when I got covered, now it's not about me. It's about him. His blood that he shed on Calvary's cross gives us a reason to not leave our brothers and sisters behind. Let them know who God is and what God can do for them. Because one day, church, we got to go. One day, won't be singing Zion songs. Won't even be reading scripture from our Bibles. But the good news is, instead of reading the scripture, we can know God for ourselves. We can see him face to face. So one more time, let's give God a loud hallelujah. 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 Praise. 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 Holy God. Woo! Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Lift him up. Thank you, church. We're at the time where we're going to open the doors of the church, and somebody's saying, well, everybody's already a member.
Thank you for listening to a recent sermon from Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church. We pray that you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church is located at 16813 Huffsmith Corville Road, Houston, Texas, 77070. Our Sunday worship services are held at 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m., with Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. Please come out and join us for worship, study, and fellowship, where our motto is, "We are the branch, but He is the vine."